Here's both a fun and important question that we're not supposed to ask. What could a free state look like? When freed from the grip of Mordor or Washington, D.C., what might a place like Texas or Idaho or Arkansas or Missouri look like? What could people be liberated to accomplish? What sort of culture could they be freed to create if the American big government empire either fell or just sort of imploded? But before running through a list of 10 things that a liberated state would be freed to pursue, let's go over a shorter list of items that are not at all a necessary result of a state or states being freed from the grasp of Mount Doom. Number one, there doesn't have to be a fight. We're not talking about someone or some state trying to seize control of the whole U.S. We're just talking about one or more states or regions deciding to peacefully separate, let me emphasize that part, peacefully separate from D.C. in accordance with the desires of the vast majority of residents in that state or region. That second part there is very important too. We're talking about, in this hypothetical fantasy land scenario, we're just talking about a region whose population overwhelmingly wants to separate from Washington, D.C. It's what the people want. Number two, there's no need to have a bad relationship with any other states who may still be attached to D.C. or not attached to D.C. Whatever the case, freed states would still be able to love all of their neighbors. Just because they ditch D.C. doesn't mean they automatically have to start hating on bordering states or states that don't border them. They don't have to hate on anybody. To the contrary, a freed state would be free to pursue treaties, alliances, trade agreements, and other diplomatic arrangements as it saw fit to best serve its own interests. So there's absolutely no need for a freed state to have a bad relationship. There's no necessity of them having a bad relationship with any other state or country. Number three, there would be no need for the newly independent state to seal itself off, to physically, hermetically seal its borders so that it's isolated from the rest of the former United States of America or the rest of the world. No need for that at all. That said, the newly independent state would be able to control its borders as it saw fit. Now, with those important qualifiers in mind, and hopefully a better, more reasonably optimistic sense of how this situation could actually look where the rubber meets the road, were a state to find itself freed from DC, let's roll through some important approaches to life and culture that a freed state would be empowered to pursue. Number one, no more child sacrifice, no abortion. A free state could actually outlaw the murder of babies. Number two, real genders. A free state could actually acknowledge and respect the difference between men and women, beginning with official policy centering on the notion that there are only two actual genders. Number three, real sports. One obvious consequence and immediate benefit of rejoining reality on the gender front would be the restoration of women's sports. Number four, real family. A freed state would be able to actually define and support the family as God has defined and demanded support for the family. What a concept! Number five, real marriage. Like family and gender, a state that is liberated from the rank evil that is Washington, D.C., would be free to properly define and defend marriage just as God has defined and commanded it to be defended. Number six, real money. A freed state would be able to build a sound, stable, and secure economy on real money rather than the counterfeit wealth magically typed into existence out of thin air by the forces of darkness running Washington, D.C. Number seven, real responsibility. With real money comes real responsibility, as in the need to actually pay for things as you go using honest, actual wealth rather than the counterfeit wealth of fiat currencies like the U.S. dollar. Number eight, real adulthood. If a free state chose to radically shrink the role of government and stop protecting people from the sometimes painful lessons of real life, we would actually have a chance of producing a culture of mostly responsible, capable adults rather than the overwhelmingly state-dependent, irresponsible population purposefully groomed by the Marxists running DC. Number nine, real culture. A state freed to pursue these things would have the opportunity to build a real and distinct culture of its own based on a healthy approach to reality where gender, family, marriage, economics, and finance are concerned, rather than continuing down the drain of intentional decimation of culture being promoted by DC at every turn. A liberated state could reverse course and build something bold, beautiful, unique, and inspiring. Number 10. We could openly serve a real God. As in, we could have a real, clear, public commitment to the one true God who actually created, owns, and rules over every bit of his creation, including the land currently known as the United States. Once liberated from the explicitly anti-Christian approach to government that treats the DC-ruled state as superior to all lesser gods, amounting to a sort of state-managed polytheism in practice, a free state freely choosing to repent, believe, and submit to Christ as King, not just in hollow words, but in actual practice, could benefit in countless ways from the fact that Jesus really is King. So there we have it. By no means a comprehensive list of some of the incredibly beneficial options available to any state that might free itself from Mordor's orbit, but still, 10 awesome possibilities that can only be realized apart from the current DC approach to Marxist anti-Christian government. Something to think about. If you have suggestions to add to the list or feedback to offer on the items that I listed, please let me know in the comments. If you appreciate this perspective and want a daily dose of informed optimism, please subscribe to the channel and visit HellraiserReport.com.